In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for the message this morning is the lesson just read. The lesson gets me to ask a question. And I look at you and I realize I could ask it several times. And the question is, what are you doing here? For instance, I look to the front row here. What are you doing here? That's my seat. I look over here, the front couple of rows, and I think, what are you doing here? I had them for two SMP courses. I look to some of you, and I don't recognize you. What are you doing here? Greek, Hebrew. He's my dad. He's my husband. I'm the president of the seminary. What are you doing here? That's a question that is often more than a question. It's your birthday, and there's a party, and who should walk in but a cousin you haven't seen in years who lives 1,000 miles away. You say, what are you doing here? But you know that they're there for the party. You're just expressing your joy and your delight. You want to say something to your spouse in private, and so you tell the kids, Mom and Dad have something to discuss. But one of them doesn't seem to pay attention. After a moment, you say, what are you doing here? But you don't want an answer. You want him to leave. What are you doing here is often more than a question. And out of the mouth of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the creator of heaven and earth, to Elijah, it is more than a question. Now, Elijah had been on the run. He had been in Israel, where he dealt with Baal and the prophets of Baal, and the queen is angry. She swears on her own life that she will take his life. And so off he goes. He runs. He's scared. He's more than just scared. He's desperate and confused. He's, you might say, scared to death. If you remember the story, he goes into the wilderness, lays down, and prays to God, just kill me. I've had enough. But then he goes further. For 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah is on the road and on the run until he appears at the mountain of God, Horeb. And God speaks to him. Yahweh says, what are you doing here? Elijah explains what he's doing there. I've been very jealous, very committed, very faithful to you, but it's all gone sideways. The people have rejected the covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets. There's just me left. So Yahweh tells him, go out into the mountain. And there Elijah stands, and there's a tremendous wind. But Yahweh is not in the wind. There is an earthquake, but Yahweh is not in the earthquake. There is fire, but Yahweh is not in the fire. But in the quiet after the wind, in the stillness after the earthquake, in the silence after the fire, there is the sound of Yahweh. And he asks again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah gives him the same answer. I've been very jealous, very committed, very faithful to you. I'm the only one left. But this is where a question is more than a question. It isn't what are you doing here, it's what are you doing here and not where you're supposed to be? What are you doing here and not doing what you're supposed to be? Because what does Yahweh, the God of Israel, the creator of the universe, have to say to this desperate, confused, scared man, go back. By the way, on your way back to where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, do this. Appoint, anoint a new king for Syria. Anoint a new king for Israel. Get yourself a replacement with Elisha. And by the way, there are 7,000 in Israel who have not yet bent their knee, leaned over, and kissed the Baal. Well, Elijah listened, and off he went. Last Friday, there was a sermon preached by David Lewis on Isaiah 65, and at the beginning, he wanders through it, he looks through it, and asks himself, well, am I here? Are we here? And then he thinks about different Old Testament scholars, and no, don't go there, don't go there. Now, if you know Isaiah 65, you will know that St. Paul did apply it to the Gentiles and to all of us, and, well, that's where Lewis wanted to go, too. I bring that up to say that that passage was about you. This passage is not about you. This is about God's Old Testament people, Israel. This is about a king gone wrong and a queen who was angry and murderous. This is about a prophet who would not be a prophet. This is about God's Old Testament people and his dealings with them. It's not about you. But it does have something to say for you. It has something to say for all of you, because all of you are sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, students and teachers. You have occupations, you have classes to go to, you have neighbors and friends, and God has given them all to you. God has put you in those places. God has called you to be someone for somebody else. That's where you are. That's what you should do. And do it. Now, sometimes this is easy. I'm an only child. I'm not, actually, but you might be an only child. Sometimes it is hard. You don't know my sister. You don't know my sister. Sometimes it's easy. I love teaching in this place. Sometimes it's not so easy. You go into class, you throw down the books, and you say, don't mess with me. I'm in a foul mood. So that's how it applies, you might say, to all of you. All of you, you weren't there by random chance. You weren't there by simply your own decision. You are there by the will and the call of God. Be there. It may not be easy. Be there. It may be hard to do. Do it. But it's also for you, for many of you, especially for you here who've just been called or who have calls, for you who are called already or looking to be called in service of the Word. It applies also to you. God will be putting you, or God has already put you, somewhere. Be there. God will be, or God already has, called you to do something. Do it. You may be wondering what is going on. You may recognize this doesn't seem to be right. You may want to know from God what's going on. And God may just say back to you, in effect, what are you doing here? Which is, go back to where you're supposed to be. Go back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. In case you're wondering, that is the law. And that won't change. But know this too. Where God has put you, whether in your family or your occupation or in your ministry. That is the will of God. And He is doing with you and through you what He wants as the Creator of all, as the Redeemer, as the Savior, as the one who would have all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so it is not in vain. In your family, in your occupation, in your ministry. You may not be able to see it. It may be painful. It may destroy things. But it also means by which God builds up, brings to life, and saves. So, where you're supposed to be is where you're supposed to be. What you're supposed to be doing is what you're supposed to be doing. May God grant that you do where you are and what you're supposed to do. To the glory of His name, to the benefit of His people, to the honor and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.